Allison. Today's scripture comes from the 6th chapter of Matthew. Hear these words. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We will continue today our sermon series on the redemption of Scrooge. And as we talk about Christmas, Dusty really alluded greatly to what I'm going to talk about for a minute. Christmas is the season of senses, you know, our senses. I can't think of another holiday or time of year that addresses all five senses and ties them very closely to the memories that we have of our past Christmases. From the sight of the lights on the tree and the ornaments that we put out and put on the tree year after year, to the smell of the evergreen or the smell of baking cookies. I'm sure these smelled wonderful being baked in your kitchen. Thank you. And I'm sure they'll taste even better, right? You can't beat a Monster Bar for yummy taste. The songs of the holidays that speak of the story of our Lord, the story of snow, the stories of all kinds of things. And in Iowa, we can touch Christmas, too. Our Christmases are, we can go outside and make a snowball and throw it at somebody, which we shouldn't do, by the way. But we touch snow and we feel the cold. That's part of an Iowa Christmas. Christmas is a time filled with memories. Some of our memories of Christmas are vivid. They feel like they're really near to us, like it was a Christmas just last year, but it might have been decades ago. And then others are memories that are faded, as if we're experiencing those memories from a great distance. They're sort of foggy, and they can't really materialize for us, and yet we have essence of the memories of our past. And when these memories get connected to our senses, they especially shape our Christmas now, shape our days, shape who we are. Memories, however, can be incomplete or misleading. We all have different memories, and we remember things in different ways. Regardless of our memories, they are our memories, and they might be different from our spouses or our siblings or our parents, our friends, but they are memories just the same. Take a moment to think about what sights and sounds and smells and tastes and touches connect you with your Christmases past. At what point is it really Christmas for you? You know, what sense or smell or song or family gathering means it's Christmas for you? When I was growing up, grew up in Mason City, I would spend my evenings in my living room. I'd turn off all the lights and just have the Christmas tree lights on. And I would listen to Christmas music. And does anybody remember LPs? Vinyl records? Yeah, yeah. We had a stereo that you could stack up about four at a time, and then when one would get done, the next one would drop down, and it'd play across, and another one. Raise your hand if you've experienced that. Yes. Yeah, LPs are coming back. You know, you can actually play them again. For me, that was part of Christmas, putting in my favorite albums. And it prepared me for the magic that I seemed to sort of build up to on Christmas Eve. My most favorite of all memories is sitting in church on Christmas Eve, lighting the candle, holding it near my face, and singing Silent Night. Invariably, I missed all the rest of the service because it was evening. You know, anybody ever miss the Christmas Eve service? You're there, but you miss it, right? It's kind of warm. It's you're kind of sleepy, but that Silent Night brings it all back. My other thing that I would like to do in the dark is we had a little nativity that played Silent Night. Silent Night's one of my favorite carols, and there was Mary and Joseph and a shepherd and two sheep, and one of the sheep, its head was broken off because it was ceramic. But I'd wind that up and play it over and over and over. Another memory that connects me with Christmas is music. I love music. I love singing music, hearing music. I love finding Christmas music on the radio. I'm the one that found it on the radio station before Thanksgiving. I'll admit it. Anybody else out there looking for it? Yep. So, but one of the songs that I really like is Sleigh Ride. And one of the reasons I like that is because in my high school years, I played clarinet and bass clarinet, and there was, Dusty, you're going to love this, there was only one time I ever remember playing a Christmas song in band, and it was Sleigh Ride. We may have done others, but that was the one that stuck out. And I love hearing it on the radio in its band form because it's an instrument made neighing of a horse and an instrument made whipping, you know, that whip sound of the whip on the sleigh ride. And I love that. And when I hear it, then it's Christmas for me. The sights and sounds and memories all connect us with our Christmases past and help us experience either a good Christmas or maybe not the best Christmas, depending what those memories entail. For Scrooge, one of his fondest memories was a Christmas party at his former employer, Fezziwig. There's a scene in there where they go and they see Fezziwig playing the fiddle and everybody dancing and singing and having a great time. And when he relives this memory, and he does it at the hand of the ghost of Christmas past, he is able to see the joy that he once knew before he became who he is today. It was a time in his life where light and love existed for him, and pain and sorrow were nowhere to be seen. We're going to watch a clip from A Christmas Carol, just a second, real quick, I'll tell you. I'm trying to show different Christmas carols each time, so this one is Mickey's A Christmas Carol. So Jiminy Cricket is the ghost of Christmas past, so.
We're going to visit your past.
I'm not going out there. I'll fall.
Just hold on.
Whoop!
Not too tight now. What's wrong, Scrooge? I thought you enjoyed looking down on the world. A miserable miser, consumed by greed.
Well, nobody's perfect. And there's lovely Isabel.
Ebenezer? Ebenezer?
Yes, Isabel?
My eyes are closed, my lips are puckered, and I'm standing under the mistletoe.
You're also standing on my foot. I was in love with her.
In 10 years' time, you'll learn to love something else.
What? Why, it's my counting house. 9,972. 9,000...
Ebenezer?
Yes, what is it?
For years I've had this honeymoon cottage, Ebenezer. I've been waiting for you to keep your promise to marry me. Now I must know, have you made your decision?
I have. Your last payment on the cottage was an hour late. I'm foreclosing the mortgage.
You loved your gold more than that precious creature, and you lost her forever.
9,973. Please, Spirit, I can no longer bear these memories. Take me home.
Remember, Scrooge, you fashioned these memories yourself.
Scrooge, going into his past, saw his own joy that he used to have, and he loved that joy, wanted to stay in the midst of that joy and not see the sorrow. And then he saw where the joy had gone. And he let love slip away with the woman that he wanted to marry. You see, it's difficult for Scrooge to relive the loneliness of his past that now permeates his present. It's hard for him because that's where he is. He knows that. Scrooge has spent his life worrying about all kinds of things, worrying about having enough money. And his fiancée, of course, leaves him for that obsessive worry. We often live that way. We'll do this when we have enough money. We'll go here when we have enough money. We'll do this when we have enough money. And if we spend so much time on the money part, we miss out on the life in between. In Matthew's gospel this morning, it talks about this a little bit. Do not worry saying, what shall I eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. God has promised to provide for us so that we can focus on building relationships with Christ, building relationships for Christ with others in our midst, instead of filling our lives with worry. Part of Scrooge's love for money is that he probably didn't ever have that much, and he wanted to have it, and so he kept amassing more and more, and it took over his life. But God says, seek God first, and the rest of life will fall into place. If we seek God first, we'll have enough to meet our needs. We'll have enough. How often are we like Scrooge? Who says that they will help at the church when they have more time? You know, I'll help at the church. I'll do things. I'll go serve at Shared Blessings. I'll go serve in the community when I have more time. Or I'll start giving to the church when I have more money. Scrooge lost himself in his pursuit of wealth. And if we're not careful, we will do that too, if we get things out of proper priority. But this is the redemption of Scrooge. And so we're getting a glimpse of who Scrooge was. You know, he was a pretty good guy. Loved this woman, had fun. And he's desperately looking for that and hoping to become that again. My friends, what do you long for this Christmas? What memories connect you with your Christmases past? Are they good? Are they bad? Is it mixed? Have you lost someone you loved or had a fight with a family member at Christmas and sort of taints the whole thing from here on out? We are people looking desperately for meaning. Meaning in life, meaning in Christmas, meaning this Advent season. The trouble is, we often look in the wrong places. We spend every waking moment trying to find the best deal on stuff, and you know, we're just wrapping up Cyber Monday that turned into Cyber Monday week, and trying to find the best deal, overbuying, amassing credit card debt so that we can have things that we think will give us meaning, flying off on exotic vacations that we can't afford, all in an effort to try to make a Christ-centered holiday that's been hijacked by the secular world. That's what happens when we get our priorities out of whack. We're called at Christmas to keep Christ in the center of the season. Christ is, of course, the reason for the season. We see that on signs and different places. But it's challenging to do that. And the only way that we can do that is to put Christ first in our day, put Christ first in our life, and all these things will kind of fall into place in their right order. But it won't happen unless we pause in our busy schedule and allow Christ to flood in to our memories, flood into our day, flood into our lives. One of the nice things about a snowy day is it sort of slows us down on the road, but it also slows us down out when we're out and about, and we start to hibernate a little bit, which is a time to slow down and reconnect with Christ. Moving Christ into your life and allowing him to wander into some of those memories that you have of Christmas's past can help you with the meaning that Christmas has for you today. If there are things from your past that really connect you to Christ, connect you to your Christmases, find those again and bring those into today. Try pausing every day and letting Christ in, and let Christ fill some of the emptiness that is inside you. It is only by stopping and facing our challenges, our problems, that we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. Only when we're vulnerable can we really let Christ into our lives and help Christ change who we are. How do you feel inside? Is there longing in your soul, that maybe a longing for something that you just can't name? By stopping and waiting and using this time to anticipate Christ's birth, which we know happened 2,000 years ago, and yet we celebrate this year and every year, we can discover what it means that Christ came to us. Because Christmas isn't about a cute baby born in a barn, right? Jesus was born in a barn. He's not there yet because he's not been born yet, according to the story. But it's not just a story of a baby born in a barn. It's a story of a baby born in order to grow up, be put to death, so that our sinful lives could be redeemed. That's what Christmas is about. It's about a baby who grew up to teach about love and teach about forgiveness and teach about showing love and mercy to other people. As a follower of Jesus Christ, that's how we're called to live our lives. Like the baby who grew up to love others. We can do that at Christmas, and we can do that all year long. I invite you to respond to Christ this Christmas, this Advent, by using your gifts to bring others closer to Jesus Christ. Invite someone to worship this Christmas season. After all, we were created to love Christ and love who Christ loves and to share that love with others. Don't become like Scrooge and keep it all for yourself, your love, your resources, your time. Give it away for Christ. Because deep within even Scrooge, there is love and compassion. He's just pushed it down and put money and selfishness in its wake. He also has past hurts that he's using to cover up with money. But there's compassion in Scrooge, and I imagine there's compassion in you, or you wouldn't be sitting here today. We all came to this place today. We came to this moment in time shaped by our Christmases past. What we do with our past, whether they were good or bad, is our choice. But we have today, and we can choose to put Christ first this Christmas. We can choose to love others. We can choose to love those who Christ loves. I invite you to do so. Amen.